the Disney Parks Podcast is now on Stitcher Radio on demand. You can listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices using the Stitcher application. Find it free on your App Store or at Stitcher.com. Now on Stitcher Radio on demand. Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast, show number 0036 for the week of February 20th, 2013. We would like to welcome each and every one of you to the show. We want to encourage you to go out to iTunes to rate us, review us, let us know what you like, let us know what you'd like to hear. And as always, you can visit us at the DisneyParksPodcast.com website. You can email us at questions@DisneyParksPodcast.com. And you can always call us on the Disney Parks Podcast hotline, which is 407-476-8898. We have a great show for you this week. My name is Park Hopper John, and I come to you from the www.parkhoppers.com website. And I want to welcome you guys. Joining me, as always, is the lovable and huggable Mr. Tony Castanova from the DisneyByTheNumbers.com website.
This won't do. What's the matter with you? All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot.
And if you know what that is, you definitely need to email us at questions@DisneyPodcast.com. And what movie that was from.
And it's having an anniversary.
Oh, geez. That narrows it down to, I think, one or two things. Hey, we have a very special show for this week because joining us for, I think, the first time. Isn't this the first time, Tony?
I think so.
This is the first time, the inaugural, the season opener, if you will, the world premiere, the red carpet, or in, you know, Oz the Great and Powerful, the yellow brick road carpet.
Carpet, yeah.
Nice. So you like, see what I did there? Is the lovely and talented Miss Park Hopper Sid from www.parkhoppers.com and my lovely wife. Give it up for Sid. Yay!
Hi!
Sarah is my wife, obviously, and she goes by Park Hopper Sid. So I try really hard to remember to call her Sid. So if you ever hear me say Sid or Sarah, it's the same person, and she is a girl and a hot, I might add.
Wow. I must take him out drinking before podcast more often.
So there you go, boys and girls. That's how you have a happy marriage.
Happy life.
That's right. Amen.
Well,
amen.
And also of the soon-to-be-released Team Park Hoppers, Park Hopper Sid.
That's right. We have not talked about Team Park Hoppers yet, but we're starting a brand-new blog, a new website, and we're going to come up with some more details. We're going to premiere that, I think, here very quickly. We have a really exciting project called TeamParkHoppers.com. We're going to be doing some really good stuff. We are passionate about running. Sarah is, you did the Goofy this year.
Actually, I technically did the Dopey, which is an unofficial series of races. I know they had it on the news here, but what it means is that on Friday I did the 5K, on Saturday I did the half marathon, and on Sunday I did the full marathon.
And that was all here, Walt Disney World.
Yes, it was actually for the 20th anniversary of Disney Marathon Weekend.
Okay.
So John and I have only been running for about 2 years, and again, we use that term very loosely. We do a lot of run walking, which Jeff Galloway, who took over Run Disney a few years ago, he is a huge proponent of, which you walk for a set amount of time, and then you run for a set amount of time. And, you know, he has special timers, and we all have our watches set, and sometimes it's just you run as far as you can take, and then you walk for a little while, and then you start running again. And it's more about making it from point A to point B than in how fast you're going.
Right, yeah. Now, there's races coming up next weekend?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. As we record this, the following weekend is the Disney the Princess Half Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually going to try to compete, not compete, but I'm actually going to kind of walk the 5K, and then a friend of mine is running in my place for the half marathon because I just can't take the pounding with my ribs. But Sarah's going to run it, and she's going to kick it right in the, well, she's going to run the, she's going to do well this weekend.
Okay.
All right, so there's a race. Is it there a race on Friday or is there just Saturday and Sunday?
There's a 5K on Saturday, which John and I are both doing. And then there is a half marathon on Sunday, okay, which I've actually partnered with one of our good friends. And we are a team and we're going to do the Princess Half Marathon.
Great. All right.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun weekend. A lot of meets. Our good friend Sarah McGovern is going to be down doing a meet as well. So that's going to be fun seeing her.
Yeah.
And so that's good.
I did see a lot of meets pop up. I think Nicole Ciscaretti is doing a meet as well.
Yes. Nicole's doing one. Sarah McGovern's doing one. I know my buddy Sal's doing one.
Okay. Team Run Disney is doing one.
Be Our Guest podcast, I think, is doing one.
Yep.
So everybody's coming in for the Princess this year, which is neat. I love the fact that these runs are not only a lot of fun in and of themselves, but it's a great time for the Disney community to kind of get together. It was just like an epic October when everybody came together for the it used to be the
food and wine.
Food and wine run, and then they had a Halloween run. Mm-hmm. Well, they messed that up with the 10-miler, but it's really cool that we all get together and see each other, and it's just fun, especially when the podcasters and the bloggers get together. Because we all crawl out of our basements and we come hang out together at Disney.
Well, and last year, the Princess Half Marathon was the first half marathon that Park Hopper John completed and crossed the finish line. And we were all there waiting for him.
Yeah.
And we were so excited to see him cross the finish line. And unfortunately, he couldn't join us, but a huge group of us went out for our congratulatory cocktails afterwards. So
running and drinking, or running and then having a drink.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, you have to carb up. So that, you know, you have to carb up before and then you have to replenish afterwards. So beer is the perfect food. So beer makes sense.
About 2.5 years ago was my first long run and it was 8 miles. Mm-hmm. And the deal was I would run that as long as Park Hopper John met me at the finish line with a beer. Wow. And so it's now a tradition. So yeah, even the 5K on Castaway Key, he met me at the finish line with a Corona.
Wow. I wonder if they would mind if I ran with a camel pack filled with beer.
They'll never know.
No, they'll never know until you start weaving off the road, and then that would be.
Excuse me. Can you tell me where the finish line is?
Tony, if you'll do any race, I will run by your side and keep you on the track.
Oh, and she will, brother. She will.
One of these days, I'm going to have to try one. Just for the hell.
Well, you know, not that I don't want to out anybody, but a certain person that we know who does a weekly video that may or may not have something to do with travel, mm-hmm, has said that this person may or may not be doing the food and wine half marathon.
Oh, really?
Yes. Hmm. So
that may be a goal.
That'd be cool, buddy. I'd love to see you out there. We could do the Disney Parks podcast first annual half marathon survival run.
This is my only problem. I don't like getting up early. I'm not an early morning person. I hate getting up early in the morning. If there was a race that was in the afternoon or the evening, I would do it.
Okay, we have two. We have the Tower of Terror 10-miler.
Okay.
And we have the Expedition Everest 5K Challenge, which actually has some
obstacle courses and a scavenger hunt. Yeah. And those are both night races.
I'd have to do the Twilight because I hate Animal Kingdom. I don't like the Animal Kingdom Park.
Tony, you're not making this easy on us.
Welcome to 2013, where every week we take a shot at Animal Kingdom. You hear that, Joe Rohde? We're coming for you, pal.
I can't wait.
If they put something there besides Mount Everest that I can enjoy, and two shows, it's two shows and an attraction, and I'm done.
All right, well, we're going to talk about some of the news and information that's coming out about the Disney community. So, Tony, why don't you tell us about the first news story of the week?
Oz is coming to Epcot. The balloon has landed. No. Although the 2013 Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival officially opens Wednesday, March 6th, and I can't believe that's coming up, there will be one new garden which has appeared a little early. The Land of Oz garden is now open at almost one-third of an acre. It's the largest garden ever created for the festival. This area is based on the new Disney film, Oz the Great and Powerful, which opens also March 8th. Guests will enter the Land of Oz, guided by a yellow brick road, and soon find themselves in an interactive children's play area that features carnival-style games. And from here, guests will walk past a garden filled with a combination of lush and real flowers and fantastical glass poppies as kids play in and around on the giant custom Oz-themed play structure. parents can enjoy a shaded, comfy chair just a few steps away from their precious little children.
Yeah, that's they didn't have stuff like that when we were kids.
Not at the flower and wine or food and wine or
food and garden festival.
Yeah,
flower and garden.
And oh, with food.
That's right.
And beer.
And beer.
And beer.
It's nice that they're doing stuff like this.
I think it's great. I don't know why they had to open it early, but oh yeah, I do know why they had to open it early, because movie
they had to
opens,
open it before the movie opens.
The movie opens on the 8th or right. the 9th. Yeah. So yeah, they had to get that movie open.
Yeah.
Which we'll have to do a segment talking about the John Carter and the Gods of Hollywood, because you know, I'm glad that Disney is starting to get their advertising stuff together. But this is a cool area. When video popped out the other day and we saw it, and it's just really fun. I loved what they did with Brave last year,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. I think this is a great continuation with the Land of Oz. And you know, I think it's a great combination of having Disney and Oz together, you know, creating some really cool stuff. And I hope that the area that you can sit in shaded comfy chairs is bigger than just two or three chairs, because I'd kind of like to just go sit there and hang out.
Yeah, yeah, I hope so, too. I like, you know, I'm hoping when they say comfy chairs that it's just, yeah, like you're saying, not three. Three parents with their beer chest.
You know. Well, that never happens at Disney.
Yeah.
Well, they are very proud to announce that the new Disney Junior live on stage has opened recently at Disney Hollywood Studios. As always, the creative entertainment team has been very hard at work getting the latest version of Disney Junior live on stage ready for its recent debut at Disney's Hollywood Studios. This update to the popular show features new segments with Disney Junior hits, Doc McStuffins and Sophia the First, along with returning stories from the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and, of course, Jake and the Neverland Pirates. This is something that my nieces have been very excited about, and so I'm really looking forward to their next visit down so I can take them over and we can all just sit there and enjoy it as a family, because this was the first thing that we did when they came down last. Was we went to Disney Junior and we got to see the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse live, and it was really great for the kids to see this.
It's a cute show. I liked it.
Yeah.
It was fun. Actually, you did go with me once.
Yeah, it was fun.
My only complaint is I like the show, but I wish there were, I don't know, maybe some chairs in the back or seats for adults.
There actually are. There is one row of benches along the very back wall, but it is first come, first serve. And normally it is reserved for those who are handicapped or the grandparents.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, and as much as, you know, you would like a chair and someone else would, it really is meant for families.
Right.
And it really was a great experience to sit on the floor with my nieces, you know, practically in my lap and watch it. And hear their giggling and their enjoyment of it, and to see it from their point of view, as opposed to being a part. And there is a section also in the back where you can stand and watch.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would probably just lay on the floor, sunny side up, and take a nap.
Yeah, I don't blame you. But this is great, and this is one of those really unique experiences, especially for a kid, to be able to watch a cartoon, get on an airplane or ride in a car, and then go somewhere and actually see a real live version of, you know, their favorite cartoon. And I know that Doc McStuffins is huge, and of course the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and Jake and the Neverland Pirates is off the charts. Adults love that show. It'll be interesting. I'm intrigued by the Sophia the First character.
Right.
But I think this would be a great show. And, you know, Sarah will be more willing than, you know, I might be initially. I wouldn't go by myself. But this would be something that I think we could probably do on our next trip and probably enjoy it a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very interested to see the take on the Sophia the First. As Park Hopper John will tell you, that I was one of the few adults who actually sat and watched the show's premiere by myself. We do not have children. Our children are four-legged. But, you know, I always like to see the new things that Disney is putting out, especially when it comes to things that I can enjoy with my nieces and my nephews. And to be able to, you know, to see this, and I'm very excited to see Jake and the Neverland Pirates. So I'm actually really looking forward to this.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool. And I did watch some of that Sophia the First. That's pretty good.
Yeah. We were there on Saturday in the studios, and this is always, there's always a long line out in front of this. Well, there's a, you know, there's a character meet and greet, but then still there's always a long line for the show, so it must be popular.
Next story is very interesting to me, and I'll tell you why it's interesting after I read the copy. But the Journey to Oz balloon tour landed a little while ago at the Disneyland Resort on February 17th. To celebrate the upcoming release of Oz the Great and Powerful, Disney put together what it's calling the Journey to Oz balloon tour, which floated into Disneyland Park on the 17th. And it is part of a multi-city tour sponsored by HSN and the IMAX Corporation. And the tour actually kicked off February 12th from the Walt Disney Studios lot in Burbank, which had to be cool to see this huge Oz balloon take off from downtown Burbank. But before visiting Disneyland, the balloon tour took a little pit stop at the Oz and Great and Powerful premiere at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood on February 13th. After that, it departed for the Disneyland Resort and stopped there on the 17th. And then it's going to come on over here to Florida to the Daytona International Speedway in Daytona for the February 20th. And I think that's race weekend, isn't it? That's next week. That's weekend race.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then it's going to be on to Central Park, New York City, March 5th and 6th. Did anybody miss something kind of major there? Anyone?
It's not coming to see us.
It's not coming to Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
That drives me a little crazy. I don't know why. I mean, it's here in Florida, so why not come on over to Walt Disney World for a day, pop into downtown Disney, and then head on up to New York?
They should have done was painted our flight balloon down at downtown Disney. Like the Oz balloon.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
See?
That would have been cool.
Yeah, nobody's thinking. You know,
I know.
Call me, Disney. I have ideas. I have thoughts. I can make this better.
We can plus it.
Yeah.
Fans can also unlock screenings of the films in cities near them through the Journey to Oz Balloon Tour app, which launches on Facebook.com/OzTheGreatAndPowerful. On February 15th, so it's already launched. And you definitely don't want to miss Oz the Great and Powerful when it launches into theaters and on IMAX on March 8th.
Yeah, this was I like the whole balloon thing. I like that they're taking it to different places. I thought they were going to go to more cities than what they selected, but I guess it's not feasible to bring this big balloon into, you know, places like, well, they are going to Manhattan, but you know, Chicago.
You mean like Orlando?
Yeah, or Orlando, or, you know, other places, but, you know.
Because balloons don't fly in Orlando very often, except every other week.
I am surprised that with the fan base that Disney has in Orlando, mm-hmm. that they're not bringing it here.
Yeah.
I mean, we are just an entertainment capital. There is no way around it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just very, very surprised, unless there is truly scheduling issues that they're trying to get around. Yeah. You know.
But I don't know. They
could bring it to Disneyland, which is in a crowded area in the middle of Anaheim.
Right.
And they're going to bring it to Central Park in the middle of a big crowded city on an island and, you know.
Right. And then they're going to drop it down in the middle of the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, and what's probably going to happen is that after the Daytona 500, it's going to come here, and it's going to replace the characters in Flight Balloon for a few months.
That would be nice.
Professional tour. They just haven't announced that yet. I'm guessing. I'm not assuming. But Disney, I am suggesting, if you're listening.
There you go.
Iger, call us up. We got thoughts. Well, Tony, what's the last piece of news of the week?
The last piece of news is the D23 Fanniversary. And I'm saying that correctly, Fanniversary celebration, which will bring magic to guests across the country. Now, I went to this, I believe it was last year, and it was a great event. What they do is they put on a presentation, D23, usually Steve Vagnini and some of the other D23 archive people, and they talk about all the things that are celebrating an anniversary that year. And this is going to be, you know, things from Mickey and Minnie and Peter Pan and Mulan, the launch of the Disney Channel, the Walt Disney Company 90 years, the 1923 No Speck of Pixie Dust Will Be Left Unturned. So they're going to put all this stuff in, I think it's a two-hour show, 2-3-hour show. Tickets already went on sale, but they're going to Boston, Chicago, Los Angeles, Newark, Orlando, Phoenix, San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. And tickets went on sale for D23 members, and I think they also went on sale for the public as well. And I would tell you, if you don't go to this, you're really missing something good. This is really a good show. It's interesting to hear how these things, get started, how Peter Pan, came about. They'll tell you the whole story. And last time, they showed us things that the public has never, ever been shown to the public before. And that's what I really like, is seeing this rare stuff that's never before, artwork and photography and film footage and Disney legends come out to these events. And really, they do a great job in the show. So I would highly suggest going out and seeing one of these. My only complaint is that there is no video, photography, or recording of any kind allowed at this event. And that's my only... I would love to take some pictures of some stuff and...
Sure.
Record, some of these stories. But unfortunately, they don't allow that.
Yeah, I don't get the whole we're stopping at all these different cities and the balloons not stopping Walt Disney World. I'm stuck on the balloon. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm stuck on this thing. I don't understand how Disney does its planning. We have this big marketing thing. We're taking the balloon to a couple of cities, and let's not take it to Walt Disney World. And then let's do the Fanniversary thing. And the whole idea of the Fanniversary celebration is to bring the Disney magic to guests all across the country. So, yeah, obviously, let's take it to a whole bunch of different places. Oh, and make sure that we go to L.A. and Orlando.
Mm, right.
Which I think is great. I want to go when it comes to town. But it just strikes me as funny. It's just, it's just one of those odd things. And I know there's reasons behind it, but that's just kind of what I think.
Well, and don't forget Chicago and Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could have put the balloon on this tour, and it would have gone to 10 cities.
Yeah, no kidding.
There have to be reasons.
Yeah, money.
We don't always know why Disney does what they do.
Yeah. I'm sure it's the cost of that balloon company. That balloon company's like, we're not going to 10 cities. How about you pick three?
Yeah,
how about I want to go to the race in Daytona? We'll be there.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
And I want to trip to Disneyland. Can you make that happen?
Well, right. The insurance alone and probably the, the way that the wind works at this time of year with the hurricane seasons and the high pressure systems. And
yeah, you're giving them way too much credit, baby. Yeah. But it's awesome.
Yeah.
So, but that's cool. I'm looking forward to the Fanniversary thing. I want to get tickets and go. I haven't yet, so I'm hoping that there's tickets available when I'm ready.
Yeah.
Mm. I want to go, and I want to sit by Tony Castelnuova of Disney by the Numbers.
Yeah.
Well, it is first come seating, so, and they tell you that you can't be there for more 30 minutes before showtime. And they're having two shows in Orlando. They're having one in the morning and one in the afternoon, so.
Nice.
Okay, so Tony, does that mean if we all get tickets that we're going to rock, paper, scissors for who has to get there first to save the space in line?
Well, I will be there I'm going to the afternoon show, and I will be there my 30 minutes ahead of time.
So, gotcha. All right, cool.
If you want to see, let me know.
And we have a great guest today. She is a good, good, good friend of mine. I love her and her husband dearly. She has been on the WDW Park Hoppers podcast. She's been on the Be Our Guest podcast. She has an incredible website called Running at Disney. She's got Twitter and Facebook Running at Disney. She is awesome. She's my sister from another mister. She's the non-stanky Yankee. Give it up for my good friend and guest for today, Miss Sarah McGovern.
I don't know how I can possibly live up to that.
I just said that's going to be tough.
Seriously. Thank you.
You are welcome. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about you and a little bit about how you came to Disney. And then we'll talk about the website, and then we'll talk about what we really want to talk about.
Sure. I am a lifelong Disney fan. I blame my parents for all of this. They brought me, I think when I was 5 years old, I first came, they brought me back for my birthday every year, and I just became obsessed and hooked on the mouse. I kept coming when I was all throughout high school and college and into my adult life, and I'm slowly trying to bring my husband into it. He's coming along, but we're still working on him to become as obsessed as we are. We're working on it. I'm now, in the past few years, I've become a DVC member. I'm an annual pass holder, and I don't live anywhere near Florida. So, you can say I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I was going to ask if he was a, Disney fan too. So he's a convert, or soon to be converted.
Yeah, he actually, before we met, he had never been to Disney.
Whoa.
When we were first dating, I know it's a little tough. He's a good guy in other ways, so I thought I'd forgive him on that side.
There is a great guy.
He's pretty awesome sauce. I like him a lot.
He's awesome sauce.
When we were first dating, I think it was 2 years until we were dating, my parents were like, he needs to go to Disney if this is all going to work out. So as a Christmas present, they actually got us a trip to Disney for 4 days. And I brought him down, and I eased him in slowly. I think I brought him to the studios as our first park. So I didn't like throw him into the Magic Kingdom and be like, this is Disney, he liked it. I don't think he ever expected that we'd now be going down multiple times a year and owning DVC, but he deals with it.
Yeah. The thing about it with Barry, I think that helped seal the deal. Not seal the deal. The thing about it with Barry, I think that made it easier was after we all kind of met, you and Barry hung out with a group of Disney people that you had met online, and Barry discovered that everybody that you were hanging out with weren't all like super freaks.
Yeah.
And we like to do crazy things like eat and go up to, the different resort lounges and hang out, and we're just normal people who just happen to really love Disney. And I'm a super huge fan of your husband. I know I don't really get to talk to him as much as I'd like to, but he's just a cool guy. If you ever get a chance to know him, is it Crazy Eyes on Twitter?
Yes, Crazy Eyes with a K.
Yeah, he's cool.
But yeah, I mean, we found actually the more that we go down, the less we actually go to the parks. And we go more for the atmosphere, for the Disney service that you get, because it's unlike anything you get at any resorts around the world, at least I think. I mean, the quality of service is amazing. And then, the restaurants, we go out to eat a lot, we relax, and we just have a good time. And a lot of it is just being with our friends down there. So many of our friends live in Florida, and, yes, Disney is what originally brought us together, but we have a lot of other things in common, like running, like eating, like,
drinking.
Computer stuff. That's drinking.
Yeah, drinking.
But Barry's a big computer geek, and a lot of everyone is into that too. So we have common ground outside of Disney, and it makes it a little bit easier to get into it for him. So yeah.
I tell people all the time that there's a lot of things to do here in Florida, Walt Disney World, without having to go to a park. I mean,
absolutely.
As a local, I can tell you there's a lot of things to do, and I never have to step inside a park to do them. So, yeah. Disneyland, a little bit different, but here in Florida, it's you can do a lot of things without stepping inside a park.
Yeah, I mean, when we were down for Tower of Terror weekend, he's not a big fan of the heat, and it was hot that
Who
whole
is?
Week.
Yeah.
Yeah. He actually, there were times when I went out to the park and he just stayed at the hotel. He went to the pool. you know, by himself and relaxed and, you know, did some other things. And I was like, I'm going to go to the park for a couple hours. And he was very content with that, you know, and then we'd go to dinner that night and have a really good time. So there's so many other things that you can do, you know, besides kamikaze running around and, you know, going on every ride. It's so much more enjoyable. So that's what we found.
Yeah.
So you said that your first trip was when you were five, Sarah. Do you remember anything about that trip? I mean, that's a long time ago, obviously.
I remember, you know, I don't know if it was exactly that trip, but I do have a lot of memories about, you know, all the trips, you know, when I was younger, you know, especially through photos and things that I have, you know, seeing Figment and Dreamfinder, and I loved Epcot growing up. That was always my favorite. You know, I'm a very nostalgic old Epcot fan. So I have a lot of really great memories of, you know, Horizons and World of Motion and all of those, you know, old attractions that are no longer there. I know growing up we stayed on the when the Swan and Dolphin first opened and the Yacht and Beach Club first opened. We stayed there because they were, you know, sort of the newer resorts. And I know my parents wanted to, you know, check them out, see what was going on. So I have a lot of great memories of that area. So I love staying around there now because it sort of feels like home to me.
You have been a big Disney fan and you started a website, and there's so many different Disney websites out there. It's easy to kind of get lost in it, but yours really stands out because you found a niche within the Disney blogging community that I think there's a couple people who've hacked at it a little bit, but I think yours is probably one of the much better ones because, you know, your writing style is really solid. Your pictures are really unique and you really have pulled together this great community, and it's called runningatdisney.com. So tell us a little bit about how that all got started, and I'm going to talk to you about a couple other things later about some of the things that you've done with it, like for charity work and some of the runs that you've done. So tell us a little bit about the Running at Disney beginnings and how that all came to be.
Well, thank you very much, first of all. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
It actually started about only a year ago, and I'd say like right now, about a year ago now, November. My inspiration for it is your wife, Sid, and our good friend, Amanda Tinney. They ran the Wine and Dine Half Marathon last year, which was when it was in September, before they moved it back to November. They ran that race, and I was down that weekend, and I actually ran the 5K, but a half marathon was sort of out of my grasp. I thought they were absolutely nuts. And, you know, I kept saying, you guys are nuts. I can't believe you're going to run a half marathon tonight. It's crazy. And then we went, Barry and I actually went to the after party to go cheer them on. And I saw all the people crossing the finish line and they were so excited. And it was just this huge, you know, party atmosphere. And they had just run 13 miles and they were just like loving it. And then, you know, we were there when, Sid and Amanda crossed the finish line, and they were just, you know, Amanda was crying and it was just the greatest thing in the world. And I was like, you know what? I can do this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to run a half marathon. So I think a few weeks later, I signed up for Princess, which was in February of this year. And I was sort of kicking myself right after I registered, thinking, what did I just do? And I needed to find a way to hold myself accountable for training, because if I don't hold myself accountable to something, I'll just not do it. I'll find every excuse in the book to not train, to not run. It's very easy for me to just give up on those things. So I decided I'm going to start a website. I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to learn everything I possibly can about running, about nutrition for running, about training, and do the best I can for this race. And that's how Running at Disney actually got started, was just to basically hold myself accountable for that first race. And then I sort of became obsessed with running. I fell in love with it, and it's just kind of taken off from there. So,
yeah, that was my first half marathon as well.
Yep.
Yep.
And I remember seeing you at the finish line of that. It was the it was our both our first halves that we finished. It was awesome.
And for the record, you crossed the finish line a long time before I did.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You still crossed.
That's true. and that's been the cool thing to see how your site's grown. And I, you know, I'll say this again. I'm still a baby when it comes to blogging and stuff, but it's really cool to see your friends start a project and see it really flourish and grow. And I just think that your community that you're building there is just really solid. And you had your first, I think you had a meet scheduled and something happened and it got canceled, but you had a meet for this last race, which was the Wine and Dine. And mm-hmm. And I heard that was really great. You had a pretty decent turnout, right?
Yeah, we had a good amount of people that came, and you know, we're all Disney fans, and you know, we met online, and you know, we talked a lot about running. We also talked a lot about Disney, and a lot of people had just come from the new Fantasyland opening. So, you know, it's kind of fun meeting people that have an interest in both things. You know, I can talk to a lot of people about running things and talk to them a lot about Disney things. And that's what the meet was really fun, because we could talk about all of that. And it was great to, you know, meet new people too with similar interests. So that was a lot of fun.
So we just recently had the Wine and Dine Half Marathon, which is another night race. And you also did the Tower of Terror 10 miler, which was another night race. And I think, and I want to get your opinion on this, between the two races, it was, this is not literally, but it was night and day.
I was going to, yes. You're not going to go there and say night and day.
Because
he did it. He went there.
I'm sorry. You see what I did there? You see what I did? The Tower of Terror race was hot as all get out. And there was more people getting sick, physically sick on the course, and I only got 8 miles in, and I had huge blisters because my feet were so wet from it. I mean, we were standing there waiting to start, and we were all just drenched with sweat, and we were chugging water. Disney had put up extra water stations, and it was hot. And then the race, the Wine and Dine race, seemed to be much cooler, much more appropriate for running. How did you feel about the two races, and did you feel the same way that I do about the two, you know, the differences between the two races?
Well, let me ask this. When was the Tower of Terror? Was that in August?
No, it was October. I'm sorry, September 29th.
Okay, so that was still hot.
So the last weekend.
Okay. Yeah, still warm.
And then Wine and Dine was the first weekend in November?
Right.
Yeah. So Sandy, I guess, had swept all the hot air up,
right?
You know,
she took it away.
Yeah, that's what, you know, I think what that storm did, because we had almost a whole week of, you know, kind of chilly for Florida. It was down in the 40s a couple nights. So okay, go ahead.
Well, I think you're totally right, you know, saying that it was hot over Tower of Terror is putting it lightly. I have never been so hot in my life and as I was in that race. But the interesting thing is that Wine and Dine last year was that same weekend, and it was actually very cool. So the hard thing about the end of September, you really don't know what the weather could be like. It could be really hot or it could be mild. It's really hard to tell. I think the biggest differences with the race, Tower Terror, it was the inaugural year. I think that Run Disney was sort of feeling out how many people are going to be interested. There really wasn't a ton of entertainment on the course, which I think was a downfall of the race itself. The other thing is you only got to run through one park, compared to Wine and Dine, where you actually run through three parks. And that is a huge bonus. It makes time go by a lot faster when you're running through the parks instead of just running on Osceola Parkway. Tower Terror, you did run through ESPN Wide World of Sports, which was very cool. I actually enjoyed that part of it, but I would have much rather, instead of running down to the Animal Kingdom parking lot and turning around and coming back, I would have much rather run through Animal Kingdom instead of, say, ESPN. So there are a lot of differences that way. Entertainment, definitely. I mean, that's one of the things that make Disney races stand out, in my opinion, to other races. And I've done other races. I've run another half marathon. I've done a lot of local 5Ks. Is the entertainment, and it really keeps you occupied. It makes the time go by so fast. I know during Wine and Dine, between miles 6 and 7, I was running with Amanda and Sid and our friend Jim DeMarco, and we were like, oh my gosh, we're at mile 7 already? What just happened? I mean, it goes by so fast because they know how to keep it going. And I'm hoping that for Tower of Terror for next year that they'll just improve on it and make it better. And they seem to do that with all their races, is learn from past experiences and just make it better and better and better. Even though they were both night races, they were very different. If I was going to choose, Wine and Dine is the absolute winner for me.
Yeah.
As far as races. So.
Yeah, I think that between the two, I didn't necessarily dislike running through Wide World of Sports, mm-hmm. but I just felt like I was so far away. I was almost defeated because I was already struggling with the whole blisters thing. And then I thought, how far away is this park from, you know, Hollywood Studios? I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And then the worst part about it, and I'm not trying to dissuade anybody from running it because I don't know what the course is going to look like next year, but they took us through the back door and we had like, I don't know, what, a quarter of a mile of gravel?
Yeah.
That killed me.
I didn't love that either.
That sucked. But it was really cool because they did really nice decorating because it was part of their Halloween trail for the Halloween 5K that they had done that morning. That's what I was told. I didn't run that one. But the other thing that Disney does, usually on the weekends that they have the big races, which, you know, when I say big races, Disney has the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend, which features a half marathon on a Saturday and a full marathon on Sunday, Princess half marathon. Mm-hmm. Then they do, help me out here, they do the
Expedition Everest.
Expedition Everest, which is a 5K.
Yep.
And then they do now the Tower of Terror 10 miler. And then their last race is the Wine and Dine, which coincides with the Food and Wine Festival. Most of the time on the big weekend races, they have a 5K, which is usually a family 5K. And sometimes they do like fun runs for the little kids. But how many of the 5Ks have you run in conjunction with the longer runs? Do you do both? Or do you tend to do one or the other?
I've only done them when they're not on the same day. Like Princess Weekend, the 5K is on Saturday. The half marathon is on Sunday. I'll do that. I'm planning for Marathon Weekend. I'm actually running the full marathon on Sunday, and I'll be doing the 5K that Friday. Things like when they have these night races, like Tower of Terror and Wine and Dine, the 5K is in the morning on Saturday, and the half marathon is at night. You know, as fun as it sounds, and as much as I would really like to do both races and get both medals, because, you know, let's be honest, it really is all about the bling.
Word.
I know my body. I know how tired I can get. And it's not worth getting injured in my training for other races I have down the road just to get that other 5K medal in the morning. And so I don't do that. That's my, you know, personal choice. I know a lot of people that do it and, you know, get through it and have a blast.
Right.
So it really is depending on your level of training, how, you know, if you feel like you can do both things, you know, get up early, do the 5K, take a nap in the afternoon, and then do the half marathon. You know, it really is a personal preference. For me, I can't. So
yeah, me neither.
Do you prefer running the night races or the early morning races, Sarah?
It's funny because when I train in the morning. I don't train at night. I'm not a night runner because, you know, I work all day. Right. It's hard to, you know, fit that in afterwards. I'm tired after a long day. So I tend to do most of my training in the morning. But after doing two of these night races, they're really fun. I mean, they're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a completely different experience. Because I've done two half marathons in the morning, and I've done, you know, these two night races now, and I really loved the Wine and Dine. I had a blast. So it's kind of hard to say. I don't know now. I would have, before these, I would have said definitely the morning, but now I kind of like the night ones. Yeah.
The other question was, you know, how many races does Disney have a year? Do we know? I mean,
right now they have, and talking about both coasts, they have 7 race weekends. Wow. John just listed the 5 that are in Disney World. So it's the marathon weekend in January, the Princess in February, Expedition Everest in May. We have Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, which is September, October, and then Wine and Dine in November. And then there's 2 races out in Disneyland. There's the Tinkerbell Half Marathon weekend, which is also in January. Next year, it's the week after the marathon. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Disneyland Half, which is in August. Wow. So right now there's 7.
Yeah, and I think they have 5Ks on those as well.
They do pretty much every weekend. Mm. They make it not just a race; it's a weekend. So there's the 5K and all the other stuff around it.
And what's the average fee to join one of these races?
They vary a bit. Mm-hmm. I'd say, well, it also depends on when you register. The earlier you register, the less you're going to pay. Right. The rate does go up the closer you get to the race. Mm-hmm. I think some of the half marathons start at about 130, I want to say. Wine and Dine is a little bit more, because what you get with Wine and Dine when you register, you also get a $10 gift certificate for the Food and Wine Festival that you can use at the after party. And with the registration also gives you admission to the after party that they hold, where the Food and Wine Festival in Epcot, all 26 booths are open until 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
So you run the race and then you have admission to the park, and a lot of the attractions are open. So that's also included in your race registration. So that race is a little bit more. I think it started at 150 for that one. So they are pricey. Yeah. They're much more expensive than other races that you'll find around the country. I mean, I will say that, you know, half marathons by me up here in Connecticut, some of them are $50 to get. And you get a tech t-shirt and a medal just the same. So you really are paying for a few things. You're paying for the entertainment. You're paying for the character opportunities. I mean, where else, you know, are you going to be able to take a picture with characters when you're running a race? Really nowhere. And you're also paying for, you know, the logistics of running on Disney World property. I mean, there's a whole, you know, they have to shut down roads. They have to shut down the parks. They have to get people there. I mean, there's a lot more logistics involved than a lot of local races have. Yeah. So you kind of have to take that into account, the experience that you're going to have versus, you know, just running a half marathon in your local area. And it, you know, again, that's a personal choice that,
And I've run a lot of races that weren't Disney. And I think Sarah will probably agree with me that you can run a lot of different 5Ks and longer races, and they're cool and they're great, but there really is something altogether different about running a Disney race. They run it differently. When they do expos on the longer weekend runs, they do an expo, a 2 or 3 day expo, where they have all these different vendors and different things going on. They have it in the big, you know, the big field house at Wide World of Sports. It's huge. It's incredible. There's a completely different aura about running a Disney race than there is running, you know, a half marathon, you know, in Tampa. You know, it's great, but there's something completely different about running a Disney race.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So how many people are typically entered in these races? I've seen, I think, some stats that were saying there's like 20,000 people for some of the half marathons.
Yeah, again, each race is different. Like Tower Terror, there were only 10,000 people. I say only 10,000 people.
Yeah, only
There were
10,000.
10,000. Wine and Dine was about 14,000.
Right.
But then for Marathon Weekend, we're looking at about, I think there's about 25,000 people running the marathon. I want to say about 23,000 running the half. There's going to be over 50,000 people running that weekend
So I did some
in
quick,
total.
yeah, I did some quick math. So just $130 a person at 20,000 people, that's $260,000. I don't know if that even covers Disney's expenses. I mean, there's a lot of logistics, as you were saying, to, having one of these races on property. By the time they're done paying all the employees, the cones, the porta pot rentals, and all that other stuff, wow.
They also have a small army of volunteers too.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
And I have to say, they are the most amazing people on the planet.
Yep.
Those volunteers out there. I mean,
Yeah.
they thank you for running. It's like, are you kidding me?
Right.
What?
Right.
Like, I mean, they're at the water stops handing out water, like, thanks for running. And it's like, thank you for being out here at 1 o'clock in the morning and giving me water. I can't
Yeah.
believe you're thanking me.
Right.
They're just amazing, amazing people. And these races couldn't happen without them at
It's
all.
true. Well, speaking of being amazing, that's a great dovetail into my next question. One of the things that has really impressed me so much about what you've done with running at Disney is you've kind of taken that and not just done a blog, but you've also done some charity work. You've partnered with some other charities. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing with your community as far as the charity runs that you've done.
Yeah, the biggest one that I've done was this past summer. I ran with Team Challenge, which is part of the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America. If you read my blog, it's really no secret. I've been talking about it more that I do have ulcerative colitis. I've had it for about 10 years now. It is a disease of the of your intestines that has no cure. It's an insanely frustrating disease that you don't know what causes it or how to cure it. So raising money for that foundation is very near and dear to my heart, or other parts of my body, as you want to say. Yeah, it's the more money we can raise, the more research that can be done to try and help find a cure for this. Team Challenge is their endurance program, and they sponsor right now 3 races throughout the country. There are two. The race that I did was the Virginia Wine Country Half Marathon. And I mean, how can you not run a race that involves wine at the end? There's a wine tasting when you're done with the race. Hello. So I did that. And they also do one in Napa Valley. They also work with the Rock and Roll Las Vegas race, which is this December. So it was an amazing experience. I raised a little over $3,300 from some amazing friends and family who donated to this cause, and it was a wonderful experience to run with them. And I did it. I knew about the endurance program, through my disease and through other people I knew who have it, but just to get that experience. It really was amazing, and I did it when I, sort of first started my running. And what they do is they have coaches that help you. You have an endurance manager that sort of pushes you through your hard days and helps you with your fundraising. And it's really a great way to get into running. And I know that Disney also works with some charities, such as I think it's Team in Training, which is the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and it's the same sort of program. I saw a lot of people out there this past weekend for Wine and Dine wearing the Team in Training shirts, and it's a great way to raise money for that charity as well. I figured if I'm gonna do this running thing, it's great for me and it's great for my health, but I want to do something bigger with it. I want to help other people, and I want to, you know, if I can help other people when I'm getting healthier, why not? So
that's awesome. We're I think Sid has already, we have to make a rule when I'm talking about Sarah McGovern, I have to say Sarah. When I'm talking about my wife Sarah, I have to say Sid. But the numbers 13 mean a lot because it's 2013, so we're going to do some 13s, if you know what I mean.
Very
what
you, cool.
What are you going to do, a Taylor Swift concert?
No, I don't want to make the official announcement yet, but
all right,
we may be doing 13 somethings in 2013 in fundraising for
13 races in 13 days.
Yeah, no, God, no. Sarah, Sid is actually doing the she's officially doing the goofy, but she's unofficially doing the dopey, which is the goofy is during Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. You can sign up for an additional medal if you run the half marathon and the full marathon. One's on Saturday, one's on Sunday. Sarah's doing the unofficial dopey, which is adding the 5K on Friday. So,
and that really is dopey.
She's crazy. I love her, but she's nuts. I'm just doing the 5K in the half marathon. And so that'll be good. I'll actually earn.
Still a lot.
Yeah. I'm going to rest a lot Friday night. And then Saturday morning, I'm going to do the best I can. But that's, I knew that anything that you put your hands to as far as online stuff with running at Disney was going to be really cool. But I really paid a lot of attention and tried to talk you up to all my friends with what you're doing with charity stuff. In fact, you inspired Sarah and I to kind of readdress something that we had tried to do a couple years ago with a 13 for 13 challenge. And so, yeah, it's really cool. And the one thing about all the Disney races, Tony, to kind of go back to something that you ask, is they do charge a lot, but a fair amount of the price that you're paying also goes to a designated nonprofit. Usually it's like for the Expedition Everest 5K, which is a 5K run, a scavenger hunt, and an obstacle course. They also donate money to like their wildlife fund or, you know, leukemia, lymphoma. They pick a charity at every race, and that's kind of the beneficiary of a good chunk of that money too. So Disney doesn't keep it all.
Well, that's good.
But they could.
Yeah, I mean they could, but you know, but they do give a lot back to the community, so I'm really at work.
Yeah.
So the you know, Sarah, I know everybody collects something from these races: bibs, medals, shirts. What's your collection? What do you really run for?
Toenails.
Well, it is. Yeah, exactly. I don't keep them all, but I like to. Those are the fun things you learn about when you start running, all of the nasty losing toenails and chafing issues, which we're not going to get into today. But if anyone wants to know about it, you can contact me. That's fine.
Body Glide.
Yes, exactly. It's your best friend.
I have no idea what Body Glide was until I started running. And I sleep with a thing of it underneath my pillow because I love it so much.
It's the best.
Okay, that's a little bit too much information for us.
Yeah.
Body Glide is an anti-friction.
Too much for this show.
Yeah. There's children out there, John. What is Body Glide? That sounds all nasty.
I know. What I've been doing ever since I started, my first actual 5K in Disney was in 2010 in the Halloween 5K. And I started collecting the race pins. They have a special commemorative pin, which you can get with your race registration. It's like an extra $10 on your race registration, and you get a commemorative pin. So I've gotten one of those for every race that I've run. More recently, starting with the Princess Half, they have little pins that are like miniature versions of the medals.
Oh, that's cool.
I've been getting one of those as well. So those are really cute. And then... the other thing that I just started with Tower of Terror, and I was so happy to see that they had one of these for Wine and Dine too, are pint glasses with the race logo on them. I drink a ton of water at home, so we have a lot of pint glasses around the house. And yes, we use them for other things as well, but it's mainly for water at
home. Right, right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. but they're such a great, they're a very useful item. Like the pins, okay, I throw them in my pin book and I look at them, you know, occasionally. You don't see them very often. But the pint glasses are great because I use them almost daily. They're in my cabinet and grab one and it's like, oh, you know, the Wine and Dine Half Marathon, you know, it's great. And that is my favorite thing that they, the first one that I saw was the Tower of Terror. I don't recall them having one for Princess. And then I got one this past weekend. So hopefully they'll keep doing these pint glasses because that's something I want to keep collecting.
And so I have to add a couple more items to my list when I ask people what they collect.
Yeah.
Pins, pint glasses,
yep,
and replica pins.
Bibs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Medals.
Yeah.
Blisters.
The bibs are great. I have like holders for the bibs and for the medals. So
Yep.
It's really fun. I do that
as well. So what's the next big goal? What's the next couple big goals for you?
Well, this marathon sort of looming over my head. I was swayed by the 20th anniversary medal.
Yeah, who wasn't?
I mean, how could you not be?
I wasn't.
You're like, nope, not at all.
Is there a segue entry somewhere?
Well, the thing, I'm sorry to jump in, but the one thing that Disney does, which we could have a long discussion about this any way you want to slice it, but if you start a race, no matter how you finish it, either crossing the finish line or if you get swept at mile two, you still get your medal because they really look at it as a participation medal. Technically, it's a finisher medal and you're supposed to finish the race, but you know, you paid for your medal, you might as well get it. And I've got a couple medals because I got swept that I love, but they're not my favorite because of that. So I have to go back and I have to earn my Walt Disney World Half Marathon medal from last year. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, the marathon is my next, you know, big thing. I'm going to be totally honest that I'm not training as much as I should for it. I do not enjoy the long training runs. It's very hard for me. They're kind of, you know, there's a difference between running a race when you're with thousands of people and you have your friends around you and you have encouragement than when you're doing a, you know, 15-mile training run by yourself, just in your local area on the street. It's way more difficult. So I am struggling with the training a bit, but I'm trying to power through it and, you know, I'm not expecting to break any world records or set any PRs with this marathon. I just want to finish. I just want to have fun. A lot of these races are just about having fun. I mean, you know, the Wine and Dine Half Marathon, I ran with three of my really good friends and it was probably one of the best times I've ever had. We didn't run it fast. You know, none of us set PRs, but we laughed a lot and we had a really good time. And, you know, that's my goal for the marathon is to just get through it. You know, eventually down the line, I don't think that, you know, I know in my heart, I'm not a marathoner. I really enjoy half marathons. I like that distance a lot. And I think after the marathon, I'll probably just focus on my half marathon speed and, you know, making that better. And that's about it. But this will probably be my one and only marathon. I don't think I'm a goofy girl. I give Sid and Amanda a ton of credit for that. But that's just not in my cards. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's got to be difficult training. You know, you live up in Connecticut. You know, down here in Florida, it's flat. I mean, you know, we might have a 5% grade, you know, but, you know.
Overpasses.
Yeah. In Connecticut, it could be, you know, a little hilly. So.
Yeah. I mean, we do have hills and it's actually good for your training. I mean, you know, it challenges you a little bit more. I mean, I try, you know, when I first started running, I'd see a hill and I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to walk up that and I'll run down the other side.
Right.
But now, the more I run, I actually try and run up the hills more because it actually improves your endurance and your stamina. It might be really hard, but in the long run, it pays off. Mm-hmm. So I actually like the hills. surprisingly, I never thought I'd say that. But I also do.
You're sick.
Yeah, I'm sort of wrong. But, you know, I started doing other things. I realized once I did sign up for this marathon that my body was probably not up for it. I'm not strong enough. So I started doing CrossFit this summer to strengthen the rest of my body, to strengthen my upper body, because what a lot of people might not know is, you know, with running, it does require some upper body strength. I've noticed that since I have been strengthening my upper body, I'm not in as much pain as I used to be. My shoulders used to get really, really sore running long distances, and now it's not as bad. So I really tried to I've been taking the time to strengthen the rest of my system for this marathon, you know, not just focusing on running, but doing other things as well. And I think it's paid off. So
everybody that does a blog, they do them for different reasons. And one of the things that I've tried to focus on is try to build a community. I've gotten away from it a little bit, which, you know, I'm rebuilding that. And as you know, consistency is key. And it's also the hardest thing is to be consistent. What has been for you the most awesome thing about being a Disney running blogger? What has there been one moment that you look back and went, wow, that's what it's all about right there?
I think it's been meeting more of the running community and sort of the encouragement that I've gotten from them to keep going. I've found it amazing that, you know, I never thought for myself, people have said to me like, oh, you inspire me to keep going. I never in my wildest dreams starting this blog thought that I would inspire anybody. You know, I did this to hold myself accountable and to keep going and to learn from other people. And just to have one person say that I inspired them and helped them to keep going, or that, you know, I was the one who, you know, made them sign up for that one 5K has been absolutely astonishing and amazing to me. But I also find that, you know, the encouragement that I get every day, if I'm having a bad day, and I try and be as honest as possible on my site, you know, if I'm having a bad day and a horrible week in training, I'm going to put it out there. I'm not going to hide it and say, I'm this elite runner and I know what you should be doing. You know, I've gotten injured in the past year a few times and it's been horrible. And I'll throw that out there as well. And just to get the encouragement back from the community and to meet all these people who are also going through similar things, has just been completely amazing to me. It's really changed my life in the past year. So, I love all my readers and I love everyone out there who I've met through this. It's been pretty amazing.
Sarah, what would you say to somebody who is thinking about either just running a race or maybe running a Disney race? What's one thing that you would say to them if they're on the fence about it?
Yeah. Or what tips
would you sign up for it?
Yeah, what tips would you give them?
I would just say sign up for a race. And that's how I did it, was just I took that leap and I was like, I'm going to do it. And then when you do it, you're like, oh my God, what did I just do? But once you spend the money to do it, once you tell people that you're going to do it, you're going to do it. Or else you're going to, you know, look like a failure. And who wants to look like a failure? Nobody. So the hardest thing about any of this is just signing up for a race. And once you do that, you're just, you know, see it through, do the best that you can. You know, if you can't train, you know, find a training program. The Couch to 5K program is a wonderful program to start. Jeff Galloway, who is one of the spokespeople for Run Disney, he has this one run, walk, run method. Say that 5 times fast. Is a great way to ease in. And, you know, I use that too. I will never say, yes, I'm a, you know, yes, I do run these marathons, but I don't run the whole thing. I do the run, walk, run thing. You know, I run for about 3 minutes and I walk for a minute and then run for 3 minutes. And it allows you to keep a steady pace without burning out too fast. And, you know, it's just take that leap of faith and do it. And, you know, it's hard. I'm never going to say it's easy. There are days that I just want to quit. But you sort of look at the big picture and, you know, I'm healthier than I ever have been, since I've taken this, journey in the past year, I should say, you know, and, I'm healthier now than I was when I was a teenager. And I'm in my 30s. So, you know, it's just taking that small step and doing it.
So. Yeah, I would tag on to that, that if you are even remotely thinking about running a race, the next Disney race that they have, I would go to the finish line and stand there for about a half hour.
That is a super good point. Yes.
That's when I was in awe because I'm a big guy. You know, most people don't look at me and go, there is a half marathoner. But, you know, they'd be right. And I saw people who were bigger than me and people who were smaller than me who were struggling. I saw people who were bigger than me that were flourishing and crossing that line. And I was blown away and inspired, and everybody was cheering and everybody was crying. And you could see the people who were, you know, this was their big one, and, you know, they were struggling and they made it and they were crying. Their family was there, and just it's an amazing experience. And in any race is like this to a degree, but there's just something about the Disney. Again, it's that Disney thing that just really,
yeah,
really just kind of gets you. That's what did it for me. So,
and even beyond that, you know, volunteer for it.
Absolutely. You
know, hand out the water, hand out those medals. If you're one of those people who can put a medal around somebody else's neck, I mean, you will be inspired in a second. And I mean, and like you said, be at that finish line. That's what put me over the edge. I saw Sid and Amanda cross that finish line and I was like, I need to do this, because they were just so elated by what they just did. And they also had that awesome medal around their neck, which I really, really wanted. So
yeah,
it's gotta be like a little, you know, buzz when you cross that finish line.
Oh my God. Absolutely. And especially your first one. I mean, my first half was Princess and I just absolutely broke down in tears afterwards. I was just hysterically crying because, I mean, it was just such an amazing accomplishment. I never thought I could ever do that in my life, ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I've done three this year alone. I mean, that's nuts. What? Who am I?
Yeah.
You know, right.
You talked about running and walking. So what's the pace that somebody needs to keep to, you know, unfortunately not be swept?
They want you to keep a 16 minute per mile pace.
Okay.
Which, depending on what corral you're in, and the corrals are sort of the starting area, they have a certain amount of people per corral. Faster people are in the front, starting in corral A, and then it goes back from there. You do have sort of a time buffer. The corrals start 5 minutes apart from each other. So, you know, let's say there's five corrals, A through E. If you're starting in corral C, you have like a 10-minute buffer behind you because you know that more people are starting after you are. But they do tell you to keep a 16-minute per mile pace. And I mean, you know, that can be a fast walk too. Some people walk that. Some people walk the entire half marathon. It can be done.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, don't be scared of that time. You know, it is doable at any sort of fitness level. So,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I've heard that, you know, there are some fast walkers that really run.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
All right. I think it's time, Tony.
It's time.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Favorite park?
Epcot.
Favorite character?
Duchess.
Favorite restaurant?
From the Aristocats.
Okay. I had to think for a second.
I know. Nobody really knows who she is, so I should clarify. Duchess from the Aristocats.
Okay. Favorite restaurant?
Favorite restaurant? California Grill.
Favorite attraction?
Past or present?
Doesn't matter.
Horizons.
Favorite resort?
Oh, it's hard. I'm really loving the boardwalk right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Favorite Disney snack? And it can be multiple things.
Can it be like a food and wine thing?
Sure.
Because I'm on that kick right now. The lamb chops from Australia. Those are so good.
Okay. first time at a Disney park, if you know the year.
I think it was 1985.
Wow.
I want to say.
Okay. And then who was on your first trip? I think you kind of mentioned it was your family.
Yeah, mom and dad.
Yep. How far do you live from Disney now?
I think it's 1,000 miles or plus.
Okay.
I'm in Connecticut, so pretty far.
Yeah, probably about 1,200 or so, maybe.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell everybody, Sarah, how they can find you across the internet?
I'm all over the internet. My blog is runningatdisney.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. And it's just Running at Disney, all one word. I've tried to keep things simple. I'm also, before I started Running at Disney, my Twitter was Duchess_99, which I still have too. So I run both of those. So you can find me there as well. And that's about it. I think those are all the places I am.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show again today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I love talking about, all this stuff. So more than happy to be here. I appreciate it.
Yep. The Disney Parks Podcast is now on Stitcher, radio on demand. You can listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices using the Stitcher application. Find it free on your App Store or at Stitcher.com. Now on Stitcher, radio on demand. Well, my name is Park Hopper John, and I want to encourage you guys to come on over to www.parkhoppers.com. And we have a great newsletter that we want to encourage you all to sign up for because of Premier Scavenger Hunts. So visit us at www.parkhoppers.com. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, at Google+, and Pinterest at www.parkhoppers.
I'm Tony Casanova. You can find me at DisneyByTheNumbers.com. And on the website there, you can find all the facts and stats about Disney and the Disney Company, the parks. Sign up for our newsletter. Go check out our photos, our videos. Also, we have an iPhone app, which you can find in the iTunes store. It is www.dbtnfacts. I suggest that you download one. You can also find us at Twitter at dbtn. Find us at Facebook page /dbtnpage, or there's a Facebook group. And you can also find us on Google+ and Pinterest. And we'll see you in the parks.